Let's go into the word this evening. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion as the truth of God's word is taught. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. And at the end of today's meeting, our sins, we are edified. And Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We are just going to continue in the series Salvation, God's Great Plan. We're trying to investigate salvation and to see, you know, what salvation, God's salvation plan has been from time. You know, salvation, God's great plan. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul says, from a child thou art known the Holy Scriptures, and from a child thou art known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul lets Timothy, his spiritual son, to see that, you know, scriptures are to make the believer wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So a good way to know you've read scriptures is when you read it and successfully see God's saving, you know, plan. You know, so as saints, we need to pay attention painstakingly, you know, to God's word and to see how God's saving plan has been written from time. Yeah, look at what Jesus did in Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 24. Luke 24, verse 24. Bible says, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet hath spoken. Now ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Right? And what did Jesus do in verse 27? And beginning at Moses, that is, beginning at the writings of Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he took them through Genesis. He took them on a long journey, yeah, beginning at the writings of Moses. Yeah, that will be beginning at Genesis, what you call chapter 1, verse 1. So he took them through that long journey. Right? He took them through that journey to explain to them his sufferings and his entry into glory as written by the prophet and Moses. So 27 tells you he began at Moses and the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Look at verse 44 quickly. Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Yeah, all things must be fulfilled. Now, is he saying everything in the entire universe must be fulfilled? No, it's in context. Yeah, so he says all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then verse 45. So then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and kept saying unto them, thus it is written. So when you see verse 44, that these things must be fulfilled, which were written, that all things must be fulfilled, the all things will be in verse 46. Yeah, it is written, and it behoved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead, and that repentance and remission of sins, yeah, should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Are we together? Yeah, and you read down what? So it means that as a student of God's word, you must go to where God began his Bible study from. You see, God is Jesus in the flesh, or Jesus is God in the flesh. Yeah, God is Jesus wearing the fleshly flesh and blood. Yeah, so God is that Jesus who you see as a savior of the world. So God is Jesus in the flesh, and God is that Jesus who took them to Moses, to the Genesis, to the writings of the prophets, to explain what they were saying. So God began at Moses. So as saints, in listening to God's word, the word of truth, we begin where God began. So in doing that, we show at least to an extent that we are good students of the word. So it means that Jesus began at the writings of Moses, the writings of the prophet, and the psalmist, and began to write about the things or to explain the things concerning himself. So it means that a good student must painstakingly go through that narrative and see God's saving plan. Now go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Look at that again. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, the earth was without form, and was together, and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And was together. Now, go to Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? Remember, Luke 24 tells us that beginning at Moses, right? And the prophet and the sons, he expounded. So if you look at Mark chapter 4, now remember, Luke 24:44 tells you that the things which he said were the things he said while he was yet with them before his crucifixion and resurrection. So it would mean that what he is teaching in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, is equal to the same thing he said upon resurrection. Yeah, the same message. Are we together? So if upon resurrection, we see that his message is from Genesis and the prophets, Moses and the prophets. It would mean that in Mark chapter 4, his message will be from Genesis, Moses, and the prophets. So he says, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are the words that fell by the wayside. Yes, but when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So this parable is speaking about a sower sowing the word in the hearts of people. Are we together? Yeah, speaking about parable, look at verse 3 of Mark chapter 4, verse 3. So Mark 4, 3 says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. What did he tell us in verse 13? If you don't know this parable, how will you know other parables? What does Luke 24 tells you? What Jesus said before his crucifixion, they were the same message, or he taught from the same books upon his resurrection. So the teachings of Moses, the teachings of the prophet, are equal to Jesus' teaching, right, upon the resurrection and or before crucifixion, and they are equal to Jesus' teaching upon the resurrection. I'll say that again. Yeah, the teachings of Moses, yes, Genesis, the teachings of the prophets, where you have Ezekiel, Isaiah, Habakkuk, yeah, so the teachings of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, they are equal to the teachings of the prophet Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, you know, Habakkuk. Yeah, they are equal to the teachings of Jesus before his crucifixion. That's what you see as the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they are equal to the things he spoke upon resurrection. That is towards the ending part of those teachings and Acts. So, and by extension, those will be the same things that the prophet or the apostles taught from. Because the apostles were teaching an extension from the teachings of Jesus. So it means that in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus says, hearken, behold, the sower went to sow. Yeah, that narrative is not anywhere different, or it's not going to be found in any other place apart from Genesis to Malachi. Are we together? Yeah, so verse 13 says, he said unto them, if you don't know this parable, how will you know other parables? So it means that this parable is talking about when a seed is being sown, yes, which is the word, is the basic parable of all parables. Yeah, know these parables, or know this parable, and there's a tendency you know other parables. Yeah, if you don't know this parable, there's a tendency you might not know any other parable. So he says, know ye not this parable, how then will you know all parables? He says, the sower soweth the word. Yeah? So look at Luke 8. Look at Luke 8, 11. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Right? Luke chapter 8, verse 11. You know, so similar account of what is in Mark 4, we see it in Luke 8. So see what Luke, let us see. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Are we together? So God is that farmer who wants to plant a seed so that something can happen. Are we together? Yeah, God is the farmer who at the beginning of his plantation, yeah, wants to plant a seed so something will happen. Luke tells you that this seed is the word of God. Jesus says that this seed, if you don't know this parable about this seed, how will you know other parables? Are we together? So Luke chapter 8, verse 11 tells you that the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. So a farmer plants the seed on the earth. But the earth is a typical or a typology of the heart of men. Are we together? Yeah. So the seed is to be planted by the farmer on the earth. Now, this seed that God is the farmer, he is the seed or he is the planter of that seed that is to be in the hearts of men. And it says the seed is the word of God. Look at John 1. Look at John 1 quickly. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. Yeah, John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, Luke 8 tells us that the seed is the Word. So, in the beginning was the seed, are we together? And the seed was with God, and the Word was God, and the seed was God. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, what does John make us see that was present in the beginning? John 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Luke 8, 11 tells us that the seed God plants is the Word of God. Yeah, so it means that John is pointing our attention to Genesis 1, that in the beginning there was a seed, and the seed was God. The seed was the Word. The seed was with God, and that seed was God. Are we together? Now remember, as a farmer, if you want to have a plantation, if you want to have a new plantation, a new kingdom, the first thing you need is a seed. It is from the seed that you can get other harvests. It is from the seed that you get you get a bulk of harvest. Are we together? So, Genesis, Moses tells you, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. So, it means that we need to find where the seed is in that conversation of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. So, remember, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus says, if you don't know this parable, you know another parable. Yeah, that sower sows the seed on the earth. So look at what Moses now tells you. Moses tells us that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the water is the plantation of the seed, which you see in verse 3 as let there be light. Okay, hold your thoughts there. Just hold your thoughts in Genesis 1. Go back to John 1. Hold your thoughts in Genesis chapter 1. Go back to John 1. Yeah? Hold your thoughts in Genesis 1. Go back to John 1. Look at what John 1 says. He says, in the beginning was the Word, into bracket, seed. And the Word, into bracket, seed was with God. And the Word, into bracket, seed was God. So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the seed was God. Are we together? Now, he says, the same was in the beginning with God. So, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made, made. Are we together? He now says, in him. Who is the in him? The him will be the Word, which is that which was with God, which is the seed. So, verse 4, John 1, 4 says, in him was life. So, in the seed, there is life. Right? In the seed, there is life. In every seed, there is life. So, in the seed, there is life. Are we together? And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. So in that seed, there is life. In that life, the life is the light. So the life is the light, or the life in the light is found, or the life is the light found in the seed. Let me say it better. The light is the life found in him. That in him is about in the word. That in the word is about in the seed. So the light is the life found in him that is in the seed. So look at what happens in verse 14. It says, and the seed was made flesh. That is, the word was made flesh. Luke 8. Yeah, the seed is the word. So the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and in truth. Yeah, the reality. Are we together? So the seed was made flesh. Mind you, in that seed is life, and that life is the life to men. So go back to Genesis. Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Look at Genesis quickly. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. In the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yeah? Look at verse 3. And God said, let there be light. What does John 1, 4 tell you? In him is life, and the life is the light of men. So the light in the light is the light that is in the seed. So God said, let there be light means the life, are we together? The life of the seed, the life in the seed. So the life in the seed is what quenches the darkness in verse 2. Are we together? Yeah. So the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What now happened? The Spirit of God moved. And God said, so God said, let there be light. John tells us, in him is the life and the light of men. Are we together? So Jesus is that seed that was in the beginning. So when you see heaven and earth, it is a figurative expression speaking about God's new creation. We treated that in church. So God's new creation is this use of heaven and earth. Yeah, the union between God's activity and man. Altogether. So when you are a farmer, you want to plant, you see, in the next 10 years, you want to be a proud owner of a maize foundation. What you need today is what? The seed. In the seed you have today, it is the seed of maize. In the seed you have today is life to give birth to a harvest of maize. Are we together? Yeah, I'll say it again. In the seed you have, so 10 years from now, when you look back, you will call today the beginning. So in the beginning, Joshua created a new creation. What is a new creation? The maize plantation. Are we together? What did Joshua have to begin the new beginning? Joshua had the seed. So it is the seed Joshua has on the 28th of July 2011 that will make the harvest of the 28th of July 2031. 2021, sorry. Am I in 2011? Yeah. So, I'll say it again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, in the beginning, when you want to begin something, yeah, when you want to begin a foundation, when you want to begin a plantation, you need a seed. In that seed is life. In that seed is light. Are we together? So, the seed of maize I have that I will plant today on the earth is what will make me have the testimony of what? Multiple harvests 10 years from now. So 10 years from now, if I'm talking with someone, somebody will say, oh, Joshua in the beginning, he created a maize plantation. Are we together? Yeah, heaven and earth speaks about God's activity amidst men, or God's activity and man's activity, or the union between God and man. Are we together? So let there be light. We mean that what? That light is the light presented to the earth. So look at it. What removes darkness from the earth is light, which is what? Life. Are we here? Yeah. What removes darkness? What makes the earth to stop being without form and void is light. That light in itself is life. John 1, 4. Are we together? So God said, let there be light. And there was light. Glory to God. So look at John 1, Genesis 1, look at verse 11. So Moses is using the creation story to write about God's new creation. Right? Look at Genesis 1, 11. Genesis 1, 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it is was so. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind. Now, Jesus tells you that if you don't understand this parable about seed, see, there's a tendency you will not, there's a likelihood you will not understand any other parable. So that seed, remember, was what was in the beginning before God began the new creation. Yeah, the new creation is the heaven and the earth, the union between God's activity and man. So God is that sower that sows the seed of his son. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, God is the sower. So when you see Mark chapter 4 verse 3, the sower sows the seed. Yeah, the sower is God, the seed is Jesus. Yeah, so, but the seed in itself, who is Jesus, the Bible tells us in John 1 that that seed was God. So, God is the sower who sows himself as the seed of a son, or as the seed, or sows himself as a seed as the son. Are we together? So, God sows the seed of himself as a seed to yield for harvest to come into his plantation. Yeah, so without that seed, look at John 12:24. Look at John chapter 12, verse 24 quickly. Look at John chapter 12, verse 24. Right? Is that what I said? Yeah, beautiful, yeah? John 12:24. He says, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit after its kind. So, God is the sower who will give himself as the seed so that the seed will bring much more forth fruit after his kind. Are we together? Look at 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. So, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground, except that seed falls into the ground. Now, Jesus tells you the ground is about the earth, which is about the heart. Are we together? So, Jesus is the God who is the seed that will die so that it will bring forth much fruit. It will bring forth much harvest. Yeah? So, when you see John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sowed the seed of his son, that whosoever believes in him becomes a member of the harvest. Yeah? What does that really mean? Whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Altogether. So the seed of God brings forth much more fruit, or brings forth fruit when it doesn't abide alone. So Jesus is that seed which has life and life in him that became flesh so that man will receive eternal life. Altogether. So Genesis chapter 1, the earth will speak about the hearts of men. Heaven will speak about God's activity. So God sows his son from heaven into the earth, so that the earth can bring forth much fruit. I'll say that again. Yeah. God sows his son from heaven. Remember, the heaven will speak about God's activity. The earth will speak about man's heart, man's activities. So, Jesus is that seed which went forth to the ground. Yeah. It what brings and yield forth much more harvest upon resurrection. Hallelujah. Look at John 5. We're in John 12. Look at John 5. John 5:39. John chapter 5, verse 39, quickly. Look at John chapter 5, verse 39. See what Jesus says. Jesus says, ye search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. They are they which point to me. They are they which testify of me. Yeah? Look at verse 46. For had they believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So, in believing Jesus' words, you must believe the writings of Moses. So, Moses is fundamental in the teachings of Jesus. That's why Jesus tells you, see, if you don't understand this parable, this first parable, this basic parable of Moses about sower and the seed, it's possible you don't understand another parable. Are we together? So, the seed is a person, the seed is the word of God. So, go to Genesis chapter 3. Let's examine the word seed a little. Yeah? Let's look at the word seed a little. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Look at Genesis 3, 15. It says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. What it really means is, between thy seed and her seed. Now, it shall, will it be it or he? It has to be he, right? So, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his will. Are we together? So, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Yeah, can you see the word seed? Now, the word here, seed, is the Hebrew word zerah. I'll spell it for us. The word here, seed, is the Hebrew word zerah. And the spelling is this. Z-E-R-A. So, the word there, seed, is the word zerah. Z-E-R-A. Remember, it was used in Genesis 1, verse 11. Seed after his kind. Look at Genesis 15, 5. Genesis 15, 5. Genesis 15, verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy zerah be. That's what seed. Now this is Abraham. Can you see? So that seed first in Genesis 3 was about Adam and Eve's conversation. This seed in Genesis 15 is about Abraham. So shall thy seed be. So this seed that shall be this way in Genesis 15 is the seed that shall bruise the head in Genesis 3:15. All together. So the seed of Genesis 3:15 is the seed of Genesis 15:5. Look at verse 18 of Genesis 15. In the same day, the Lord made the covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy zerah have I given this land. That's the same seed. Unto thy seed have I given this land. Are we together? Look at Genesis 22. Genesis 22, verse 17. Genesis 22, verse 17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed. Thy seed, zerah. The same seed, Genesis 15. Same seed, Genesis 3. Same seed, Genesis 22. So I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and in the sand which is upon the shore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Look at verse 18. He says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So it means that there is a nation that will come out as an offspring and harvest of the seed. Altogether, now hold your hands in Genesis 22 and go to Galatians 3:14 or Galatians 3:13, near about, because there's anyone that hanging on the three and all of that. Let's look at Galatians 3 verse 13. Your hands are in Genesis 22, Galatians 3 verse 13. So Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now look at verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth. Now to Abraham, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now remember, in Genesis 22, you see that there's a promise of the seed inheriting nations. So to Abraham, right, and his seed were the promises made. See what he now says. He said not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the promise of seed to Abraham is about a person, Christ. Are we together? It's about a promise of the person, Christ. So go back to Genesis 22. So when it says Genesis 22, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. So it is God's plan for the harvest of the seed to be the entire earth. Okay, look at it. Look at that. Right? Yeah. And as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be what? Blessed. So it means that there was a promise of a seed to Abraham. In that seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Who is that seed? Paul tells you the promise of a seed is about the person Christ. So it is in Christ that we have plenty harvest. Yeah, so in Christ houses the light of men that brings men to be a partaker of the harvest from the seed. How together? So Genesis 3, there was a seed that was promised. Genesis 22, there was a seed that was promised. Genesis 15, there was a seed that was promised. Look at Genesis 26. Genesis 26, verse 3. Genesis 26, verse 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. So this is Abraham, Isaac. This is Isaac. So this is the promise of his seed to Isaac. And you see the reference with Abraham thy father. Look at verse 4. It says, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. The same promise to Abraham. So if Paul explains the promise to Abraham as a seed as of one which is Christ, since it is the same promise to Isaac, it has to be the same seed which is Christ. All together. So I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be what? Be blessed. In thy seed. Seed as of Christ, not as of many. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis 28. Genesis 28, verse 14. Genesis 28, verse 14. Look at Genesis 28, verse 14. Or look at Genesis 28, verse 13. Right? And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. So, why is he saying God of Abraham, God of Isaac? It's to show you that he is a promise covenant keeper. Yeah, so the same promise which was to Abraham is the same promise to Isaac, which is the same to Jacob, now the son. So the land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Look at verse 14. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. So it means that in that seed, we shall find numerous people that will be a product of the seed, or that will be a product, or that will be the harvest of the seed. Altogether. So, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, to the north, to the south. What is he saying? The gospel will spread forth to all nooks and crannies of the earth, and shall bring people into the mighty harvest. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be what? Blessed. Can you see? The same promise. The same promise. So, the same promise to Abraham, the same promise to Isaac, the same promise to Jacob. It was the same promise we see in Genesis 3, verse 15. Are we together? Look at chapter 35, verse 12, Genesis. Genesis 35, verse 12. See what it says there. Genesis 35, verse 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. Does that look familiar to what was said in Genesis 1, verse 26, 27, 28? Are we together? Yeah, God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. And kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it. And to thy seed, after thee will I give the what? The land. And God went up from him in the place where he had talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. Altogether, verse 15. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake to him, Bethel. Are we together? So can you say the same promise? So God is a promise keeper, right? Yeah, we see it consistent in Genesis 3. We see it consistent in Genesis 15, Genesis 22, 26, Genesis 28, Genesis 35. The same promise. The same promise. The same promise. The same promise. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So remember, go back to Genesis chapter 1 now. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, we have established that for there to begin something, there needs to be a seed. So in the beginning was the Word, John tells you, and the Word is that seed. So the Word is the seed which existed in the beginning that brings forth the new creation. So Moses is using the story of the creation of the universe to teach about the new creation of God. Yeah, so Moses is speaking about God's plan to save and to redeem man. But what happens to man? Man chose not to be found in God's promise. That's what you see in Adam. So go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Look at it, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, and God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said, look at it again. And the woman said, yeah, look at verse 1. It says, had God said, look at verse 2. The woman said, look at verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden, God had said, yeah, look at verse 6 or verse 7. Of verse 8, yeah? And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, yeah? We'll pay attention to this narrative in days to come. And we'll see that the saying of the serpent is found in the conversations of men. I'll say it again. Remember, we've established in this series that snakes did not used to talk. Revelation 12 verse 9 tells you that old serpent, which is the devil. Revelation 20 verse 2 tells you that old serpent, the great dragon, which is the devil. So the serpent of Genesis chapter 3 did not use to talk. The talking using serpent is an image to speak about conversations being had amongst men. We'll look at that in days to come. Yeah, but that should keep you thinking. Yeah, but look at verse 15 now. He says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. What it really means is between the seed and her seed. So what is Moses writing? Moses is explaining that, oh, I am he that will be what I will be in the form of a seed and bring a mighty harvest. Yeah, what did John tell you about the seed? The seed is the Word which became flesh. So what is God saying? I will simply mean that what I am. So it's similar to where you now have the I am that I am. Yeah, so what does I am that I am mean? Like I said in our previous teachings, it means I will be what I will be. I am who I am and I will be what I will be. So what did he choose to be? He chose to be a seed. All together. Yeah, so he chose to be a seed that will take care of the craftiness and the deceitfulness of the devil. Yeah, and put death to death by dying. Hebrews, right? So man, God was going to be the seed that will save mankind from darkness. Remember, in that seed, what is in the seed? Life and light. So what Moses taught as the activity of God or the seed of the woman is what he taught about the activity of subduing it. So what is Moses teaching? Moses is teaching that in God's new man, he will trample and tread upon the works of the serpent or the works of the devil, which is what? Darkness, sin, and death. Altogether. So I will bruise thy head. We speak about God's activity of dealing with what? Darkness, sin, and death. Remember, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 opens up with a teaching of Moses to his audience about God's plan to set things in the right, to put things in the right. Yeah, the light of the glorious gospel, Paul tells you. Yeah, the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image, right? Paul tells us that. So go to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 27 now. So the seed is to bring forth fruit after his kind. Yeah? And except a seed falls to the ground and die, he abideth alone. So Christ will die and bring much more harvest into that what? His kingdom, into his plantation. Are we together? So look at verse 27. And God created man in his image. In the image of God created him. Now we said the word here, image, is the Hebrew word tselem. It's a word that speaks about a physical representation of the unseen being. It's a word that speaks about a corporate status, a corporate agency. So it means that in God's image, there is neither male nor female. Altogether, or what we say, male and female are to be found in God's image. Altogether. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. neither male nor female created he them. All together, or male and female created he them in him. Now, see what now happens that Moses says in verse 27. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Will it be just to go and be giving birth to children? No, we have to read and understand the audience of Moses. So Moses says, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the living things that move upon the earth. Now remember, Moses is using the narrative of the creation of the universe to write about the narrative of the creation of the new creation. Are we together? Now, the word here replenish is the Hebrew word malah. The word they replenish is the Hebrew word malah. Let's pay attention to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 today. The word they replenish is the Hebrew word malah. And it's a word that means to fill or to be full of. Malah is the Hebrew word that means to fill, to be full of, or to take a hold of. Let's see where that word replenish was used in by Moses and other prophets. Look at Numbers 14, verse 21. Numbers 14, verse 21. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Think about it very well. What word in that verse will be the word replenish? Look at it very well. Yeah? Numbers 14, verse 21. What word in that verse will be the word replenish? It will be filled. Are we together? So the word yet filled is the word male malah. Male malah, that's replenish. So it means, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be replenished with the glory of the Lord. Are we following? This is Moses who wrote it in Genesis 1 and using it in Numbers chapter 14, 21. He says, the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Will be replenished with the glory. So the word malah means to fill, to be filled, to take a hold of. Look at Psalm 72, verse 19. Yeah, and blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled. What's the word there filled? Malah, malah. Replenished. Let the whole earth be replenished with his glory. Yes? Let the whole earth be replenished with his glory. Be filled with his glory. So, when Moses says replenish, your attention should be at being filled. Being full of. Look at Habakkuk 2:14. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be male malah. With the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the earth water covers the sea. Can you see the word replenish? So the earth shall be replenished. Are we together? So you see, the word replenished has to do with being taking to be full or to be filled. So go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. What will replenish the earth? Moses tells you it is the glory of the Lord. Psalm 72 tells you it is the glory of the Lord. Habakkuk 2:14 tells you it is the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Are we together? So when it says replenish the earth, it has to deal with the glory. Are we together? It has to deal with the glory. So, and God blessed them, and God said unto them. So who are these them? Those that will be found in the image. The corporate status. The corporate agency. So it is a corporate agency that is to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth with his glory. Are we together? Glory to God. That's the glory of his light. Remember Genesis 1? Genesis 1:3. But full attentively, right? Now, the word they multiply is the Hebrew word rabbah. The word they multiply is the Hebrew word rabbah. R-A-B-A-H. The word they multiply is the Hebrew word rabbah. Rabbah, Rabbah, R-A-B-A-H, R-A-B-A-H, and it's a word that means to increase, to make much, or to make many, to make much, to make many, to enlarge. Are we together? So, and God said unto them, and God blessed them, the blessing has to do with the saying, yeah, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. That means, be fruitful and make large, or be fruitful and enlarge, yeah, and fill the earth. Are you getting this the conversation here? He says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, that is, and enlarge, that is, increase, that is, fill the earth with what? The knowledge of his glory. His glory. Are we together? Are we together? Are we here? Have you got home? You're here, right? You're home. So, the word there, fruitful, is the word, is the Hebrew word para, P-A-R-A-H. So, it is, when God said unto them, be para araba. So, be fruitful and multiply is going to be what? Be para, that is, so, and God bless them. So, a good way to read that in the Hebrew will be Elohim Barak, right? Elohim Barak, Elohim is just God. Barak means to welcome, that is to bless. Yeah, what is the blessing about? He said, that is Elohim Amah, he spake. What did he say? He says, para arabah. What is para? It means to bear fruit, or to cause to make fruitful, or to show fruitfulness. Are we together? So, to show fruitfulness. Now, let me ask you a question. Did God ask Adam and do you suppose that God would have asked Adam and Eve to actually be fruitful in reference to giving birth to children? Obviously now, yes. Obviously. But remember, scriptures are to make you wise concerning God's plan of salvation. So it means that Moses used the narrative of mankind's writing or narrative of the creation of the universe or the earth to speak about the new creation. So you must not take it out of the fact that it is man and woman that is supposed to be fruitful. But in this conversation, this male and female found in him, they have a task to bear fruit, that is para and rapa. What is para? Show fruitfulness. How do you do that? By getting everywhere filled up. Filled up with what? The knowledge of his glory. As used by Moses again in Numbers 14. Look at Genesis 3:16. Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. What word do you think it was used in Genesis 1:26? Is the same word multiply. See that? The same word multiply. Rabbah. Rabbah. To increase. Are we together? Look at chapter 17, verse 2. Genesis 17, verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. Are we together? Talk about Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, 28. So 28 is, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Now let's something again I want you to pay attention to in that verse. The word there, subdue. The word there, subdue. The word there, subdue, is the Hebrew word that actually spells as kabash. K-A-B-A-S-H, kabash. Kabash. Now, I'll tell you what that means. Yeah, the word there, subdue, is kabash. So, remember, To replenish, we do what? We speak about giving an increase or to fill up, multiply, fill up, right? Yeah. Now, the word there, subdue, is the word kabash. And in the Hebrew manuscript, or in the Hebrew use, that word is used as a restorative term. Yeah. So the word replenish and to subdue are used as restorative terms. What does that mean? It means to restore something back. So it means that something is in the wrong, but it will be made right or will be reversed. Out together. Yeah? So be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. It speaks about something was going to be reversed or to be made right. Please follow attentively. Now, let's take it a step at a time. What was to be multiplied? Remember, Genesis 1, 26, 27 speaks about the image of God, right? And the likeness of God. Yeah? So look at verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image, that's the word selem, and our likeness. The Hebrew word there, likeness, is demuth. D-E-M-U-T-H. D-E-M-U-T-H. And it's a word that implies a pattern, a model, or a shape. Demuth implies a pattern, a model, or a shape. So, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our demuth. Yeah? After a pattern, after a model. Are we together? Now, don't forget, remember, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, opens up with God's activity or God's plan of the Spirit on the earth. Yeah? So, man in the image and likeness of God will be to explain the visibility of God in humanity. We've explained that in our previous teachings, right? So, the image of God, the likeness of God, will speak about the visibility of God seen in humanity. That is God as human being. So, it means that that which is not seen will be seen. That is the visible representation of the unseen. We paid attention to that in two, three teachings ago. Heaven, earth, image, and all of that. So, that, remember, that image of God is the same seed of God that will begin a new race of neither male or female. Okay, hold on. Let me take it easy, okay? Let me take it easy. Remember, we said heaven speaks about God's activity, earth speaks about man's activity. So heaven and earth speaks about the union between God's activity and man's activity. Now, in verse 2, the Spirit of God moved over the earth. Yeah, that's God's activity. All together. And God said, let there be what? Light. Now, that light is the seed that will begin a new creation. Are we here? Go back to Genesis 1. Go back to Genesis 1, verse 11. See verse 11. Let's take it easy, okay? We'll get there shortly. Look at Genesis 1, 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Now, the word after his kind is a single word in the Hebrew, which is miyin. M-I-Y-N. M-I-Y-N. Miyin. Miyin, a species or a kind of, that's the meaning of that word. Yet the word miyin is a species of a, or, a kind, or a kind of. Now remember, the seed is to bring forth fruit after his kind. So the seed is to bring forth a species after his kind. So it means that that seed is supposed to be the beginning of a new race, the beginning of a new humanity, such that the fruit that will come after that seed will be after the kind of the seed. Are you following? Which is really what he explained as the image of God in verse 26. So, the image of God is a seed that is to begin a new creation. The image of God is a seed that is to begin a new race. The image of God is a seed that is to begin a new humanity. The image of God is a seed that is to begin a new creation. So, what is the seed? The seed will be sown and it will produce fruits. Are we together? So, can you see that? The image of God is the seed of God. Did you get that? The image of God in verse 11, verse 12 is the seed of God in verse 26, where man is to be found and do what? Replant. Now remember, in Genesis 1, 11, what will happen to the seed? The seed will bring forth much fruit after its kind. What is the bringing forth much fruit after its kind in Genesis 1, 27, 28? It is to multiply and replenish. It is to be fruitful. Do you understand? He says be fruitful in Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. What does it mean to be fruitful? It means to bring forth fruit after its kind. Did you get that? Yeah, look at it. You are a farmer who wants to start a maize foundation. When you sow a seed on the ground, what are you implying? You are implying that that seed should bring forth fruit. What does bringing forth fruit mean? It means being fruitful. What kind of fruit will come out of that seed? It is fruit after the kind of the seed. So Jesus is the seed that when planted brings much more fruit after his kind. That seed is the same image of God, that it is a seed which when planted brings more fruit, which is what? It becomes fruitful and what? Multiplies. So what is Moses teaching? It means that there will be a physical being who will begin a new race and a new lineage. Let me say better. The image of God in verse 26 of Genesis 1 is the seed of God in verse 11 of Genesis 1. Let me help you say it better, right? So God is the sower who plants the seed that brings forth much more fruit, and also the image that what brings forth much more fruitfulness and multiplicity. I was together. So there is going to be a multiplicity. There will be a beginning of a new race, a beginning of a new lineage, a beginning of a new creation that will be found in the image, that will be found in the seed, or that will be the harvest of the seed planted. I went together. So what is Moses teaching? There will be a multiplicity of humanity all over the earth that will be in the image and likeness of God. Let me bring it home. Right? The image of God, Christ, yeah. 2 Corinthians 4, if our gospel be he to them that are lost, whom the God of this world have buried in their heart, led the light of glorious gospel, who is the image of Christ, right? Colossians 1:14, in whom we have forgiven, in whom we have redemption, right? Even the forgiveness of our sins, who is the image of the invisible God, right? Hebrews 1:1-3, God who has sundry time and in divers manners spoken in divers parts unto the fathers, right? Has spoken unto today and spoken unto us in his Son, yet who is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. So Christ, the image of God, is in that image that there will be a multiplicity of a new race. Are we together? So there will be a multiplicity of the God kind all over the earth. There will be a multiplicity of humanity all over the earth that will be conformed to the image of God, that is to be conformed and be found in Christ. Are we together? Which will actually be the product of the seed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the man in the image of God and his likeness, who is the Son of God, will multiply and replenish. Yeah, that is, we multiply and fill the whole earth. Glory to God. So it means that in the resurrection of that seed, the new humanity that will fill the earth, there will be a new humanity that will fill the earth. There will be a new people, a new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem that will fill the earth. That will be God's new creation. As who? The sons of God, the children of God. Are we together? So in the resurrection, there will be a birth of the church. That is the new humanity. So that's why we say there is the universal church and there's the local church. Yeah, we are all members once you believe the gospel of the universal church. But you must be a member of a local church. It is being a member of a local church that teaches you about the universal church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in the resurrection, right, there is a universal church. Whoever believes the gospel becomes a member of the harvest, becomes a member of the fruit, or becomes a fruit, or becomes a member of the harvest from the seed that was sown. Are we together? So God will be a father of a new species. Are we together? Glory to God. God will be a father of a new species. God will be a father of a new species. God will be a father of a new what? Species. Are we together? So look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. What did man do? Man chose not to identify with God's promised plan. Man chose to stay in isolation. Yeah? That is why teachings that make you see yourself will soon lead to atheism. Yeah? Teachings that make you see yourself as great. Yeah? We don't see ourselves. We see ourselves only in Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah? That's what happened to Adam. Look at verse 18. And the Lord God said, Genesis 2:18, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate. Who is the helpmate? The Izzah. What is the Izzah? The Izzah is a word that speaks about a one who rescues or who saves others from danger. Right, so the help me there is not a woman. We did a teaching on that. And out of the ground of the Lord God formed every beast of the field and all of that. And Adam was to see what he will call them, whatsoever he called them and all of that. Verse 20, and Adam gave names for all cattle and to the fowl of the air. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. Yeah, this Adam we've explained to be what? Christ, Ephesians 5. So this Adam is the Christ, that is the seed that fell into a deep sleep. What is this deep sleep? Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies. It abandoned alone. So Adam fell into a deep sleep will mean that what? He wanted to what? He died, and upon resurrection, Eve is formed. The church is formed. Right? Therefore shall a man be taken out of the man, or therefore rather, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. That is the church. Yeah, and Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones. Ephesians 5 tells you we are members of his body. Are we together? So Moses was writing about man's need for help. And the Redeemer will be the one who will come to help out. So Adam is the Christ that fell into a deep sleep. That Adam that fell into a deep sleep is actually the seed that falls to the ground and dies. That is, Christ will die and resurrect. Yeah, so what is Moses teaching? That salvation and redemption will come through the resurrection. Are we together? Salvation and redemption will come through the resurrection. Definitely, if there's a resurrection, it means there was a death. So salvation will come through the resurrection. That is, the death and the resurrection. That's why it now says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The word there, one flesh, is the word one. It's the Hebrew word ikad. E-C-H-A-D. And it's the word that means to be united. Yeah? To be united. To be identified together as a singular entity. Are we together? Are we together? Can you say the corporate status? Can you say the corporate agency? So, it's when two things are now described as one or the same. Yeah, to be identified together as a singular entity, be found in Christ. So, one flesh will describe God's union with what? Man. How? In the spirit, in one body, one new man. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, look at it again. And the man shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It means they shall be identified as one. They shall be united. They shall be identified together as a singular entity. They shall be identified together as a singular entity. They shall be identified together as a what? A singular entity. Look at Galatians 3, verse 26. Galatians 3, 26. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all children of God by faith. What does that mean? We identify as the ikad. We are one flesh. Look at verse 27. For as many of you have been baptized. What does that mean? Identified in with Christ. You are put on Christ. We are now one flesh. Why? Because Christ is the Adam that cleaves unto the Eve. That is his wife. So there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one. That means ikad, what you call ikad in the Hebrew. We are one flesh in Christ. We are identified, we are united with Christ. Look at Ephesians 2:16. Ephesians 2:16. Ephesians 2:16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. By the cross, in one body, that's the same ikad, united together. Together, 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit, that's ikad. We have been joined unto the Lord. Why? Because the Lord cleaves unto us. Yeah, we are now one flesh. What is one flesh? We are one spirit in one body. We are one ikad. One new man, one new creation. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17. For we being many are one bread, that is one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread, that is ikad. That is one flesh, that is together, the new creation. The new creation. Look at chapter 12, verse 13. 12, verse 13. He says, verse 12, for as the body is one, and not many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Look at verse 13 carefully. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, whether we be male or female, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. Yeah, for the body is not one member, but many. So man was to eat of the tree of life and become into one union with God. Or man was to eat of the tree of life, that is, have the indwelling of the spirit. Yeah, how will man have it? By obeying, by believing. So, two primary things. Man was to eat of the tree. Man was to dress and keep the garden. We've examined what it means to dress and keep the garden. And we say it is the work of the priest or the work of the prophet, which is spokesman. So man was to believe and dress. Man was to eat the tree of life and to dress, that is, do the work of a priest. How will man eat? Man will eat by believing. So what did Adam do? Adam did not identify with God's promise. He did not identify with God's spirit. So Adam was kicked out of the garden. That was Moses' way to write about they were not found in God's promise for humanity. Altogether, they rejected God's plan. So what now happened to them? They became a pattern for man or for humanity that would reject God's promise or God's plan. Or they became a pattern for mankind that is outside of God's promise. Are we here? I'll say it again. Adam and Eve being driven out of the garden was to typify they were not found in God's promise. That is an example to show, what mankind is without being in God's promise, without being found in God's promise. So Adam's sin, what did Adam's sin do? Adam's sin set a pattern that men walked in. Yeah, not that the sin made every other person a sinner. If Adam's sin made every other person a sinner, it would mean that even Christ Jesus was born a sinner. Are we together? Yeah, but Corinthians tells you, he who knew no sin was made sin. So it means that Jesus wasn't born a sinner. Are we together? So Adam's sin set a pattern. The man walked in that pattern. That's why Ephesians 2 now tells you, you are to be quickened. Yeah, who were dead in sins. Yeah, who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of this air, the spirit that is now at work in the children of disobedience, amongst whom we had our conversation, that's our conduct in time past, in the lust of the flesh, doing what? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby nature, that nature there is by the walking. Yeah, whereby the walking we walked in, the children of wrath. Are we together? But God, who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2. I'll close here. So, sin, wickedness, evil, they are actions of men in independence of God. I'll say it again. Sin, wickedness, evil, darkness speaks about the actions of men independent of God. Actions of men out of God's promise. So, that is man without God's promise or man without the indwelling of the Spirit. Are we together? Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's end in Genesis 2. Go back to Genesis 2. So, therefore shall a man leave his mother, that is, and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. What is one flesh? That is, they shall be one, identified together because we are of one spirit. We are now in Christ. So, they shall be one. Then look at Genesis 3 verse 22. I started explaining this a few weeks ago. Let me round this up here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. The Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. Now, the word as one of us implies a distinguishing factor. Implies being separate. So, a good way to read that would be, behold, man is become separate, or man is become away or different. What does that imply? It says to know good and evil. So man is now another way from God's plan of image and likeness of God. Or man is now another way from God's promise. Or man is not found to be in God's promise. That's what it means there. So man is not found to be in God's promise. So lest he put his hand on that tree of life, therefore the Lord God sent him out. No, it is the action of man that took man away from the garden, from the presence, from the tree of life. Altogether, if you look at Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and God good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let me correct something there. Now, look at Genesis 3, 22. Genesis 3, verse 22. So man has become as one or separate from us, Yeah, to know good and evil. Now, the word here is actually, there's no and between good and evil. You get that? You get that? I'll say that again. The word and between good and evil, yeah, the word and between good and evil doesn't have any Hebrew translation. It was imputed. So, a good way to read that would be to know good evil. Let me now explain what good evil means. Good evil simply implies, right, evil that seems to be good in the eyes of the doer. So it's like an oxymoron. Are we together? Yeah? Imagine you say something like open secrets. What is an open secret? It is a secret. How is it open? That's an oxymoron. When you say living dead, that's an oxymoron. Oh, that lady is pretty. Okay, this writing is pretty ugly. That's an oxymoron. Oxymoron, right? So that's when you say old news. News supposed to be new, or you say small crowd. Yeah, small crowd. Those are figures of speech. Those are oxymoron. So when it says good evil is an oxymoron, yeah, that which seems to call good evil, or that which describes evil as good in the eyes of the doer. Are we together? I hope this will help you a little. Yeah, let me say it again. The word and between good and evil was not there in the original Hebrew. It doesn't have a Hebrew manuscript. So it is that what? To know good evil. To know good evil. So man now began to know the difference between good and evil. And that phrase is used to describe evil that seems good in the eyes of the doer. Or in the eyes of the perpetrator. I'll say it again. Good and evil, the word good, so when you say the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it is the tree of knowledge of good evil. So it is a tree of life and a tree of knowledge of good evil. You didn't get that? You didn't get that? The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good evil. Good evil. So look at it. It means that it's speaking about a knowledge. So a knowledge that calls evil good or calls good evil. You didn't get that? Yeah, so knowledge of good evil is just about what? An oxymoron that speaks about it calls good evil and calls evil good. It's an oxymoron. How together? So what did Adam do? Adam now found himself to be separate from God's promise, or to be different, or he found himself in another way different from God's plan of salvation. Remember, Adam was to do two primary things. He was to keep and eat. So it was to eat the tree and to keep the garden. What is to keep the garden? To do the work of a priest and an evangelist on the earth. Glory to God.